I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to The Curator Podcast, Season 2, Episode 25, recorded live at Deacon Brodie's in Dundee at Book Your Ain Fest 11. And my guests on this episode are Derek Johnson, Kenny Gray, and Johnny McGinty from Make That Take Records.
Hello, thanks for coming down early with the hangover to come and see me talk some shite for about half an hour. It's going to be good. I'm joined by Kenny.
Hello.
Kenny's in charge. One of the guys is in charge.
Yep. When Derek lets me, I'm in charge.
So what is your full role then, Kenny, in this festival this weekend?
Basically, my main role is to look at spreadsheets and clipboards. My job really is just to make sure that the venues have PAs and they know exactly what's going on. And it's just basically I deal with the boring organisational stuff, really.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
I really love it, which is why I get to do it.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm also joined by who just came on stage, Johnny.
Hello, sorry, I went to the bathroom because I didn't know where to start.
That's very unprofessional.
Unprofessional is basically how I operate.
Well, I've got to say, and it's my first time being at Book Your Ain Fest, but this is actually very professional. I've enjoyed the professionalness.
We were called that yesterday as well. The guys from Trivial Dispute yesterday said... the guys yesterday said, we've had a really great time, it's really professional and really well run, but also very DIY.
Yeah, if you
have
any inkling of what really happens behind the scenes,
the
changes are
happening
quickly.
You weren't hacked, you pulled out your hair,
that
was happening.
Yeah. Up to Book Your Ain Fest 5, had a full head of hair, and since then, downhill.
So it has been, it looks like it's been really chill this weekend for you guys, is that reasonably accurate?
Yeah, because this year we outsourced all the sound engineering to Pitch It Audio Wave, which took an absolute whole bunch of bollock out of the way. But yeah, no, I mean, it's been great because we really get to just like put all the bands that we love in one space and we get to watch them and we get to chat to a lot of people. I mean, the one thing I probably noticed being the meeter and greeter at the door is I pretty much know 80% of the people by name now, which is really good. I think the security guard at the front door just thought I'd invited all my friends. I just kept on chatting to everyone and knew everyone by name. So I think that's been the great part. I think its unofficial name now is Pals Fest.
Pals Fest 2017.
Yeah.
It's been a good experience so far.
It gets slightly more chill every year, I think.
So next year it's going to be like full on.
Yeah,
like
me and Kenny we'll get hammocks out. we'll be super relaxed. Now every year I think we get slightly better. There's always sort of a debrief on Monday where we're like, okay, well that was a disaster. Probably shouldn't have done that. And as we sort of cross more things off, each year it gets a bit more relaxed.
Book Your Ain Hammock 2018.
Well, no, we're actually going to launch our first VR festival next year. So we're going to do it from the comfort of our homes.
That's going to be great.
nobody has to come to Dundee in December.
No.
Dundee's a really small place.
It really is, especially sort of community-wise. Like, it's quite... Everything's within the confines of the city centre. Everything sort of happens in the city centre, so it's really good, especially because when we've got three venues on the go, they're literally in one small area, which is absolutely ideal.
So, it's been 11 years now, that's right?
Yes, this is number 11. Well, technically it's 10, because was it 2 and 3 were in the same year?
Yeah.
How'd that happen?
You'll have to ask that. Well, actually, say this for the first time. You'll need to speak to Derek about it.
That was kind of... That's when it evolved into being annual Book Your Own Fest, because it sort of meshed to begin with the first Motion Fest in Perth. And it was originally sort of an all-dayer. It was originally just a gig, and then it was two gigs, and then it was an all-dayer. And then the second early Motion Fest, early Book Your Own Fest, was at the start of 2009.
Yeah.
And then we decided to do Book Your Own Fest, officially called Book Your Own Fest, at the end. And from then on, it's been every year in December.
Yeah, basically after Book Your Own
Fest. It's actually close.
Yeah. After event two, I spoke to Derek one night in Cage, which is a club I used to run. And I said to Derek that Book Your Own Fest spiritual home should be in Cage. And then since then, it's just got bigger and bigger. And then every year, Derek says the words, we should do this year. And you just know something courageous is going to be happening.
Something courageous? That's a good way for that.
Don't pick yourself up or anything.
Not terrifying then, no?
No, because once Derek decides something, it's happening.
Fair enough.
There have been terrifying moments.
Oh yeah, definitely. I think whoever had to tell Leatherface to stop playing at Book Your Own Fest 5
that
probably had
me.
The worst. Yeah, that was probably the worst job ever to have.
We sort of huddled around the side of the stage and went, "Who's going to tell Frankie Stubbs he can't play anymore?" I suppose it'll be me there. But I went over and said, "Frankie, you guys are going to have to finish after this next song." And he turned around and went, "Mate, thank you. I am shattered."
Has there been any other moments just as terrifying?
Any time there's a pyramid, a murder burger set. We had our first victim of the weekend due to a pyramid at Murder Burgers. Poor Max from Bike Notes decided to introduce his hand to some glass on the floor. But yeah, that's always terrifying. I think every year it seems to get higher and higher as well. And the fact that Abertay has high ceilings just means it's going to get scaffolding's going to be required for the next one, I think.
So you're not going to put a sign up saying no pyramids?
If there was no pyramid, there would be no Book Your Own Fest.
I'm glad I managed to experience it, even if there was a lot of bloodshed at the end of it. So, it's now a 4-day event, which is pretty awesome. That must be also quite tiring.
Yeah, I mean, today's when the alcohol sales go down and the coffee sales go up. It's a lot more chilled on a Sunday. Everyone's just... I think Sunday's Survivor Day. You just want to survive to the end of the day.
So this year we booked a Celtic punk band for Sunday night.
Yeah, just to sap out the last energy that anyone might have.
I'm feeling a bit rough myself, so I think my hangovers just came on as I stood on stage. Just sweating out all the alcohol because of the fear of me fucking sitting here talking to everyone.
I see your eyes,
it's scary.
I find that a couple of red stripes solves that problem.
I'm driving, man.
A couple of diet red stripes.
Is that a tipple of choice, a diet red stripe?
Yes.
Can I have some 2 diet red stripes on stage, please?
That's Kenny's algorithm for Book Your Own Fest. How many crates of red stripe do we need? One more than you thought you needed.
How many has it been this year, then?
I need to find out, but I do. I was speaking to Tony, the duty manager, Alberti, who did say the words, "We've run out of red stripe," which is... So clearly, they did not get enough.
I can't imagine running out of beer at a fucking festival.
Hey, ask the venue last year how that's all about.
What happened?
We booked at the lovely venue upstairs. It is owned by different owners now, but last year they didn't believe us when we told them how many people were coming, so they decided on the Friday to A, put one bar staff on, and B, not to do a stock delivery. So I think we got to the third band when they went to, we've got no beer left.
So what happens next?
Well, thankfully, our buddy Dave used to run this place, and we pretty much raided his stockroom for the night. So, that was an interesting night.
A wee bit of nostalgia there too.
Yeah.
Is this quite a nostalgic thing for you guys?
On a Monday, it is.
I mean, for like past years. Seeing how it's been building up and all that.
Yeah, I mean, it's been, like you said, it's great because every year we... people that come along seem to come along every year, so it gets bigger and bigger in terms of people coming along, so that's been brilliant. And it's always good to catch up with people that you may have not seen since last year's Book Your Own Fest, and just chatting stories and letting them know, just talk about everything that's happened in the sort of last year. So yeah, it's, that's a nostalgic point of view. Monday's always the post-fest the post-fest blues. Especially when you go back to your day job and go, shit, I need to do this again. And you're ill. Yeah, normally, this, to be fair, this is the first day three in a long time that I've not lost my voice, actually. So that's good. And then there'll be a couple of weeks where we probably go, do we really want to do this again? And then we'll probably start booking number 12.
It's something that I guess I try not to really dwell on. I don't like to kind of get caught up in things that we've done and that sort of thing, but then every so often something happens. Like the guys from Umlaut Records recently got asked by Collins Punk Rock World to name their top 10 record labels and named Make That A Take, and I was just kind of like, that's awesome, because as far as we're concerned, we just put on shows, we put out records for bands that we like, and we do Book Your Own Fest, and then to have people say, oh, the stuff that you guys are doing is brilliant, you're a bit like, oh, okay, cool, I guess people must like it.
And I've had Derek in the podcast, friend of the podcast, Derek. Yes, friend of the podcast. But I was going to ask, like, how many is... I don't actually know how many people are actually part of the collective that has Make That A Take.
Derek's coming up, I'll let him answer that. Could be his debut question. I'm going to sit down.
I was tagging out. Bye.
Everyone is part of the collective. The only thing you need to have to be part of the collective is a willingness to be involved, and a heart and a brain, and the ability to use them both in conjunction with one another. Not let one lead the other.
That seems to be leading down some interesting paths now.
It's the metaphysical path of a beautiful Sunday.
You can definitely tell a Sunday, can you? Penny's it's getting metaphysical already.
It's never too early for a little philosophy.
I don't know, some people in this room might be a bit hungover for that.
Well, it's the best time to face your fear when you're caught in the grip of it, right?
That's true, yeah. Existential dread is seeping in already.
There is no path but through.
That's what I was trying to tell myself as I was lying in bed like this morning, like freaking out at like 3:30 in the morning, kept waking up, cold sweats, like, what the fuck am I going to say? It's going to be people watching me, and they are. And it's, I'm not going to lie, I'm still shitting myself.
I was woken up by Dan Bastard from No Matter phoning me this morning, and it's... So I guess we were bed for about 4, and it's never good when 6 hours later the thing that wakes you from your slumber is the buzzing of your phone on the side of the... well, who's it going to be? Oh, it's Dan Bastard.
Especially when I last saw Dan last night, Albert, coming up to me at 2:00 at the reception desk going, can I have a pint, please?
Sounds about right.
So that phone call was to say, can you help me, I'm dying?
I think it was probably to say thanks and be nice. I've known Dan for a long time. Used to be in the Dangerfields. Tryhards. Played with the Dangerfields quite a lot. Tryhards actually covered the Dangerfields for a split that never came out. I've spent a long time being a mediocre guitar player. And Dan's a really, really good guitar player. And we covered 17 Forever. Which this goes round here. I'm talking about the Book Your Own Fest thing. So that split never came out, and I guess with the question that you guys were talking about earlier, where does Book Your Own Fest come from? Is that what the question was, or what's the story?
If you want to be the question, I guess you just asked it. So.
No, it's how you control the narrative, isn't it? Because disinformation is not just a tool of the right. You know, trolling ain't easy. I wish I had like my frog meme that I could emoji that I could just flick up there. But yeah, sorry, I completely derailed your question.
You asked the question.
Well, we're giving thanks to the Lord because we're all free children of God, and No, we're not. We are.
We are under the church, though, so, you know, that's probably a good place for certainly me, if not many others. Yeah, but I suppose it's a good... You do bring up a good point there, Derek. Where does it come from? Why? I think a good question is why. Like, why go through the hassle of doing it to begin with?
It's no hassle, man.
Ask him that question when he's doing the set times. He'll have a different answer for that.
In a real way, right? I didn't want to do... Like, Fest was done. I didn't want to do Fest. Last year was the worst experience I've ever had putting on a show. Ever. We've done however many shows we've done. It was awful. Like, the Fest wasn't awful. The Fest was awesome. The people, everybody here and our friends are what makes Fest. Like, to me, it's about seeing my friends. And it's like, and bringing... I do a lot of touring, and we've all done a lot of touring, and it's almost like the one time a year that I get to bring people over to my house to play, and like, well, we obviously do things all the time. I don't know how it's kind of come to be that, but the best thing about it all for me is making my friends happy, or seeing my friends happy. I don't make my friends happy, but seeing my friends happy is the most important thing, and that's the most important thing for me. And like, lots of beautiful things have happened at Book Crane Fest with people that I love. Relationships have developed at Book Crane Fest. People have...
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the good things, is you get maybe other sorts of communities who operate, or maybe operate independently, they meet at Book Crane Fest, and all of a sudden bands, ideas, friends, relationships, everything just sort of, you know, starts to happen and create. And like I says, what probably started off as a sort of small local community thing is almost definitely stretched across Scotland, like the guys in Edinburgh and through in Glasgow, is definitely now probably stretching down south as well, the guys at Umlaut and the guys at TNS in Manchester and everything like that. So it's been absolutely brilliant just to see that community grow and grow and just come like a big thing. I think the one thing that always takes my breath away is that we don't really need to persuade anyone to come and play. Everyone wants to do it. Everyone wants to be a part of it. And more importantly, we get bands and people from all over the world who just seems to know what we're doing, which is just unbelievable as to how you can find out what we're doing in a little small town in Scotland. But getting people to beg to play every year is humbling. A bit annoying for Derek, who has to deal with all the emails in his inbox, but it's definitely humbling that so many people just want to be a part of what we do. And
see, I don't think about things in that way at all. Being honest, I don't think about it like that at all. I don't think about, oh, we've grown this, or we're getting the word out, or we're trying to build this brand, or whatever. Like, it's great, and it continually, it's something that kind of fucks with me a little bit, man. Because it does blow my mind that I'm like intrinsically involved. Like, I can't unpack it all because I'm subjectively involved. You know, I lack objectivity with it. But in the realest way, this has been the best Fest. I've never been happier at a Fest. Well, you know, joy expresses itself in many ways, Jonathan. You know this.
I mean, I saw you yesterday and you looked like you were fucking floating through the student centre. I was like, that guy's so chill. I did not expect that guy to be that chill.
It comes down to love, man. Like, Fest comes from loss. Loss and love are intrinsically and inextricably linked. Loss is permanent, and happiness is temporary. And if you can't enjoy those moments of your own graft and the graft of your collective and those of your friends, if you can't allow yourself to enjoy a moment of floaty happiness, then what the fuck are you doing it for? Right. If you're doing shit to smash likes or spread brands or build community or any of that shit, then I think you're fundamentally missing the entire point of the whole thing. And I know everybody that's playing at Fest. I know everybody, not personally, but I know every band that plays. I hate booking agents. I hate booking agents in general, not just for Book Your Own Fest. But that said, I won't name any names, but there was a booking agent who was super awesome about this fest this year. Hit me with an email with a pitch, just the general kind of tour booking emails, and I was like, yeah, I'd be interested in that, you know. But had a little chat. No, definitely not for that. Frankie Stubbs School of Economics comes into play because, you know, this is a... Book Your Own Fest is a benefit festival. Book Your Own Fest comes from Motion Fest. Our friend Graham Motion died in 2006. Craig Robertson died the day of Motion Fest in Perth. And Craig was Abby's boyfriend. Abby obviously was my girlfriend for a long time. And that shit, that's from people. We're talking about suicide, man. We're talking about drugs and alcohol. And we're talking about abuse, and we're talking about death. And anybody, I think, that would use Fest as any sort of like, oh, I want a like career opportunity or whatever. Like, I detest that shit in general. I detest that shit especially as regards Book Your Own Fest. And in 2006 they did Motion Fest. I worked Motion Fest at Barcode. Kaddish played Motion Fest at Barcode. PMX played Motion Fest at Barcode. Tearjerk played Motion Fest at Barcode. Gain was the guitarist in Tearjerk and Barry. You know, so this shit's got roots way deeper than just like Make That a Take or Joy Terrifying or A Three Dare in Cage or any of that shit. And all of that shit is secondary to the point. And the point, for me, is to stay well and stay alive. Because we're the lucky ones, man. We get to do this shit. I'm the lucky one. I'm the lucky one because I know everybody on this bill. I'm the lucky one because I get to go to Manchester and play at Manchester Punk Fest. Because I put 15 years of my fucking blood and tears and life into this shit. And I think everybody, when they reflect on what they're doing and what we're doing, I think that's maybe why it resonates. I hope that that's why it resonates, and that people connect with the sincerity of what we're doing. Because before we have 300 people in a student center and lighting rigs and a main stage, we've got some dead friends. And that comes, and that transcends hardcore or punk rock. And that's the realest shit on the block, you know? And so that's always the focus for me, is like, how can we positively, how can we take this energy and this hurt because hurt is real, you know, and people try to run, and that's how people end up in rivers, or in cupboards, or in a box, or wherever. And yeah, it's all fun and games and 250 decks or red stripe and whatever. But I played here yesterday with uniforms. You know? I'm 4 years sober today. I played with Jamie. He's sober too. In front of Johnny. Never played a show without Johnny in my band until Thursday night. Played with Big Aid, you know? I love these people. And that shit's important to me. You know? I almost burst. I had to stop before we played a song yesterday because I was going to fucking burst out crying. And that shit's more important to me. Like, how Johnny feels is more important to me than how many decks of red stripe or how much money folk make or whatever, or like what band gets the headline, what stage, or what booking agent wants X amount of money for touring bands, or who needs put up or whatever. Like, that shit we can all do. Like, putting on a show, fine, huh? Get a venue, get a PA, pay the bands the amount of money you said you were going to pay them. Real touring bands, not posers, want the money you said you would give them, a place to sleep, someone to eat, and a shower, and your Wi-Fi code. They're no bothered about like two decks of fucking red stripe and bags of cocaine and whatever, you know. Like, done all that shit. I mean, it's not great, you know, whatever. Cocaine's the drug choice of the asshole and feeds egos, and I don't need my fucking ego stroked any more, you know. I wrestle with that motherfucker every day. So
it seems like it's very much about taking that horror, that everyday horror that we all experience at some stage in our life and turn it into love, basically.
That's almost entirely the point of all existence.
Not for everyone, you could argue.
Well, for me, it's not even about, like, the external. It's not even about, like, Graham or Craig or Jordan or anybody else. And the shit that everybody else deals with on the daily. Like, Make That a Take is essentially, like, my life's fucking work. However, like, I'm kind of sad and pathetic that might be. But, like, that horror and turning it into love, you know, that's how I get through my day. Because I've got real problems, like, sitting still. I've got depression. I've had depression for 20 fucking years. I'm dealing with my own processes of grief, trauma, and all that shit. And everything else comes out of that. So I guess. And I guess Book Grainfest is the manifestation of that shared experience that I guess that my force is I need to get that shit out. Otherwise, where does it go?
It's kind of the weirdest feeling in the world to see the weekend of Book Grainfest, so much positivity coming from, like Derek says, you know, what was originally a really shitty situation that comes to, and everybody who's involved in Book Grainfest, who's done a lot of stuff, has been through a lot of shit. So to kind of be able to put it all together, put it aside for the weekend, or at least kind of not dwell on it for the weekend, and see some really good stuff happen is amazing. Like, in our time in uniforms, obviously we went through some pretty shitty situations, but Book Grainfest was always great, and one of my favourite things is seeing everybody in general, but my friends in particular, and especially Derek and Jamie, who obviously we've been through so much together, to just see them having such a great time and kind of making something positive out of the situations that have happened. And it kind of it's what brings it home, and it makes it really worthwhile to do it. And you can just see, like, you speak to people who are like, I love coming to Big Grain Fest, I come every year, who are so supportive of what we do in terms of giving to charity, even to like chuck 50p in the tombola, which the people do every year, and it blows my mind, the tombola every year. And it's just like, it's really cool, and it makes such a big difference as well.
I've seen that. Sorry, seeing like when I was here yesterday and getting that feeling that everybody's here, you know, for just having a fun time, and it's come out of all this is remarkable, you know. Especially being able to hear the history, like you've just told it there, it's a pretty big thing, pretty unique thing as well.
It is. It's I guess it's not something that we see a lot of other places.
Sorry, I totally missed the question.
we're talking about the uniqueness of Big Grain Fest.
The way that this came up and the way that it transcends, you know, just...
It's evolved, I guess. Yeah.
But it still feels like a positive, like you said earlier on, it feels like a positive place, a positive force, you know? And it's good to feel that vibe when you're here.
I love that phrase, man. Positive force. I don't even remember exactly... It was first coined, obviously it wasn't coined by us or whatever, but I love that, like, all the superlative bullshit online and all the, like, all the make that I take, hype and the social media shit, I do all that, you know, thanks buddy, I do all that, and it's all, like, lovely, and I use my... Masters of Letters all very well and whatever, but it's...
You use your love of wrestling very well.
Well, it's good booking, isn't it? WrestleMania hasn't rolled on for 33 years because Vinnie Mac sucks at booking. You know, well, the booking is often terrible, in fact, but the promotional material and the hype is pretty good. And with that, you know, the wrestling analogy is pretty much exactly all the fucking story. It's almost like ECW, right? Back in the 90s, when I was in a very famous TV show. I like that. It landed with Graham. A Goodbye Blue Monday are a pretty good example of make that a take as well, like, to be honest, and how the shit works. As it pertains, like, putting out records or whatever. Right. Graham and I had chatted a couple of messages online or whatever. And I'd seen the lyric video for Two and a Mega Point, and I was like, talking about existential nihilism. And I was like, no, I'm going to listen to that again. So I listened to that again, and I was like, sounds like something I'd write. Right, interesting. So a message, and like, that's... Obviously, really like the fucking songs, and it was like, right, okay, like, let's talk. Let's do an EP, and now, like, what? Kindred Spirits, man, you know, and that connection came through like punk rock initially, you know, but that's the thing. The initial connection, I guess, is like punk rock, and that's the spark, but it's that opens up everything else, you know. And once you kind of boil and like pot it all down, you know, it's love that brings Big Grain Fest together and us. Like, I watched Please Believe yesterday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I had tears rolling down my face. Like, Please Believe are a great band, but I didn't have tears rolling down my face because I was moved by the majesty of Scotty Russell's mix and the beautiful reverb on Owen's vocal. I had tears rolling down my face because I was proud as fuck of my friend Owen doing the shit, because I know the shit that we've been through, I know the shit that he's been through, and that the struggle's real as fuck. And we're getting that shit out, like there, and it's coming out in that majestic sound with the great mix and the beautiful reverb on the vocal. That's the difference. And to me, that's the key point. I mean, yeah, it's great. Like, it's rad as fuck to have, like, 300 people in a fest that's... And this fest has been as close to the idealised vision of a fest that I would have had when we started. I guess the fest in Gainesville is obviously a touchstone, is something that was influential to us. And I think that this one has been amazing, and I'm stunned. I'm absolutely stunned. I'm stunned at myself for how I feel, because I feel amazing, and that floatiness or whatever that you talk of, like, if you know me at all, you know that I struggle to find peace. And I felt at peace, man. Like, calm, zen as fuck. And I get to see all my friends' bands who are all rad as fuck. And it's... one of my favourite things about Fest is seeing all the home team crew absolutely smash everybody. And every, like... sold out in the basement last night. And everybody's talking about Kaddish. And it's like... I would tell you that all the time. And
listen to us, damn it.
Listen to the punks.
It's, I think, like, it's
Nostradamus shit, right?
What Derek says about, you know, it comes from love and talking about punk and Good Bible and Monday and stuff, it's important to note that it's not just from Make That Take. It's a feeling of love and a genuine belief in what we do and what people are doing themselves, and the sort of punk, if you're listening to this podcast, that was air quotes.
Punk.
Yeah, exactly. And that sort of attitude, and that's what makes a lot of this possible, I guess. When Book Your Rain Fest first kind of burst into what it is now was Book Your Rain Fest 5, and at our very first meeting, we sat there and we said, right, are we going to do, fuck it, let's do 3 days. Okay, who are we going to ask? And we sat there with a piece of paper and just, and it's ridiculous. The names we wrote down Funeral for a Friend.
But they could sell our cage up.
Yeah, that'd be great. But one of the things is that Barry was sitting at this meeting, and Barry went, fuck it, let's ask Leatherface. And we all went, yeah, all right. You ask Leatherface, let's see what happens. So Barry sent this speculative email to Leatherface, and Leatherface came back and went, me, okay. We were, fuck. All right, well, guess we're doing it now.
Well, that's the thing. Like, the connection, you know. Like, Leatherface are the greatest UK punk rock band of all time. If you disagree, you're wrong. On that point, the greatest 70s UK punk record of... the greatest UK 70s punk record was Inflammable Material by Stiff Little Fingers. If you disagree, that's fine, but you're wrong. But the connection, speculative email to Leatherface, come and play Book Your Rain Fest, the Frankie Stubbs School of Economics, which is like a kind of a... Basically, we'll never pay anybody more for Fest than we paid Leatherface. But by scale, I guess it's movable, you know. There are realities and logistics of things, but like that was the thing. They agreed to come out for a particular fee, way less than the usual fee, and money talks. Yeah, Sunday politics. Sorry. Well, that connection. So money, yeah. Watching Leatherface playing Cage was, until last night, probably my favourite Book Your Rain Fest experience of all time. Last night, in all its ways, it was certainly my fest experience last night was incredible. I stood, like, right beside Dom, inside the stage, watching Kaddish, and, like, I could feel the power of that shit, man. Transformative. And then we went to the basement and Forget It Together and Stone Thrower. And in the realest fucking way, last night was all I've ever wanted in terms of, like, engagement and punk. All I've ever wanted is a place where we can do fucking basement hardcore shows. Ourselves, look after ourselves and each other, and have that. And if you were there, you'll know. And that's the thing, like, that's just my fest experience, and everybody seems to have their own fest experiences. And they're all radically different. And that's what I'm interested in.
Yeah, that's
like, I'm interested in other people's fest experiences.
My favourite thing about Big Green Fest is when we meet friends who have been at Big Green Fest every year, and you say, what's your favourite ever thing about Big Green Fest? And everybody's, it's totally different.
Yeah.
I don't think two people say the same thing. Mine is Bangers, Big Green Fest 5. The second best British punk band after Leatherface.
And that's the thing about the connections, you know, like, and that connects to Goodbye Blue Monday as well. Like, Leatherface, I'm now good friends with Graham. I'm friends with Frankie Stubbs on Facebook. You know, Jamie introduced, like, Franz Nicolai wrote a song called Frankie Stubbs Tears. Put Your Rain Fest 5, Jamie fucking introduced Franz Nicolai to Frankie Stubbs. When does that shit ever get down? You know? And now me and Graham do some work together, like Make That a Take and Little Rockets Records do stuff. Lost Love and Lost Avenue are on Little Rockets Records. They work with Pooza in Montreal. Meditation, Leatherface, The Basement. We're going to play in Sunderland. Like, Uniforms are playing at Manchester Punk Festival. Then we're going to play Sunderland on the way home. And that doesn't feel to me like, oh, cool guys playing Punk Fest. Oh, rock star shit or whatever. It's like, I'm going to see my friends and play some music and share it with them. And it's about expunging that shit. And if everything else, it sprouts from that. It's like all a strange and unexpected bonus for, like, shit I would be doing anyway. And so I guess it really starts really selfishly, like all art, unless you're capitalist, in which case you create your art for money. If I'm going to be so pretentious as to refer to it as art, then... And then it comes from getting that shit out, like writing songs or whatever. To Jamie introducing Frankie Stubbs to Franz Nicolai, to putting out a Goodbye Blue Monday record, to having Dundee Refugee Support and Dundee Food Bank and Safe Gigs for Women and Anti-Fascist Action and Vegan Action and all that shit come together. It's like, If we can create a slight space for utopian ideals and the living thereof in a microcosmic way from the fucking suffering that exists in my being and my need to get it out, then that's a beautiful thing, and I'm thankful for that.
The most important thing about being involved in Book Your Rain Fest is a genuine belief in what you do. Whether you're a band that comes to play, someone that comes to do their stall, just someone who wants to come and watch, like, anyone can come to Big Green Fest and have a great time. If they have a genuine belief in what they're doing and why they're there, you're going to enjoy it.
That seems like a pretty positive note to end on. I'm just getting wary of time going on a wee bit here.
The next most important point about Big Green Fest is...
No, that's it. You're
good timekeeping.
Well, exactly, that's what I'm doing.
If I can just say one thing before we wrap up. To you, directly, Mark.
I'm kidding.
You asked the question, how do you contribute? You contribute, man. Like, it's like, we've talked about this before, like, it's in the name, like, Book Your Own Fest. Mm-hmm. Make That a Take, make your own culture, like our friend Damien Abraham would say, anyone can do this. You know,
anyone can do this, like, literally.
And that's the point. That is the point. Like, DIY doesn't mean get decor to do it for you. DIY means fucking do it, get them to do it yourself.
And, DIY be decor as you.
Oh, dear. I want to say thank you, Mark, for being part of this.
Thank you for having me.
For all the support that you give Make That A Take, because you do a lot, man. You do a lot, so...
Okay, I take it.
And I would like to thank everybody in the Make That A Take collective, you know? And collective is not one amorphous mass, you know? It's fluid. Fluidity is important. And recognising that. And we're all in the collective because we're all fucking here.
That's the best answer to that question. But I'll also say thank you, because this is a weird thing to do on a Sunday afternoon. No fucking bones about it, but you had faith to do it. And I was talking to somebody about it yesterday, and I'm like, why did more places not do it? And I'm like, well, I don't think they know how. It's just fucking get stools, look like Westlife, and have a chat. Do you know what I mean?
Johnny's going to stand up for the key change now.
But thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank
it's
you.
Been an absolute pleasure. And thank you all for coming and watching us. You guys make me feel nice and warm.
Thanks very much.
Cheers. I had a lot of fun doing that. I've always wanted to do a live podcast, so it was really great to actually sit down and do it, despite how terrifying it actually was. It was good to see a crowd at Deacon Brodie's as well. I was worried that there would be nobody there. I think more festivals, more music festivals, should do live podcast recordings, not just because I want to do more, obviously, because I do, but add to something a little bit different to a festival lineup. And you can talk to some of the people who are at the festival, who have organised the festival. I think a lot of people would be really interested in that. Just a thought for the future, I guess. Book Your Rain Fest 11 was fantastic. I had a really, really great time. I couldn't get there on the Friday due to some issues with delivery of my, I guess, quote-unquote branding materials, but I did get there on the Saturday and it was just phenomenal. I had such a good time, really good vibe, really positive, and to actually sit down and do the live podcast at the end of it all, well, that was pretty special for me. So I'd like to thank Derek, Kenny and Johnny for giving me their time, to everybody who came down to see me, and to all at Make That Take Records for being very generous and allowing me to do this. I really, really appreciate that. Also, I'd like to apologise right now for there being a gap of a week. I know I missed last week, and I know this is coming out at a weird time, but I was getting prepared for the fest, and I think the results, I think it was worth it in the end. So, yeah, I hope you agree. Thank you very much for listening. If you haven't subscribed to this podcast, you can do so by hitting the subscribe button in whatever podcasting app that you're currently using, and also ratings and reviews on Apple Podcasts are always appreciated. Until next time. Bye-bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.